welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 133, your Thursday night show, which means it's your weekly fab preview. Going to be week 8 on the docket. We're just flying through the season already, as many have mentioned, past the quarter mark. So we'll keep things going for you with a couple call-ups and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host for now on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, man?
Whoa, we breaking news here?
Because you're sick. Yeah. That's
what I'm referring to. We're doing a flu game episode tonight.
I can't quit you.
No, you can't. You can't quit me. Flu game episode, so a little under the weather. But it's funny with podcasting, like, you know, we say this to each other all the time. Once the show gets going, like, adrenaline just kind of kicks in. So that's what I'm hoping for. I guess, I don't know. It's not as bad as whatever Rengifo has.
Yeah,
I don't want to make light of what he's going through. I hope he's okay, but was just put on the IL. Hope it's not that bad for me, but yeah, not at my best tonight. But we'll get the people what they want.
We'll get some Bloomfield gold tonight. He's had a couple sick days before, so we'll knock this one out of the park. Get you ready for week 8 yet again. Hopefully, give you some good ad drops and whatnot to get you ready for the weekend. As we nailed some good ones last week, especially on the lower side of things. So we'll try to keep things going this week. But before we get to your weekly schedule preview, your two steps, your most added over at CBS, we have a bit of news to discuss, and we'll start with the positive sides of things. Ryan, one Paul Skeens, former number one overall pick last season of the Pittsburgh Pirates, will make his debut on Saturday. The dude had not a whole lot else to prove, is the best way I can put it, at AAA. It was just pure filth what he was providing at AAA, with a whopping 0.99 ERA over 27 and a third innings with 45 strikeouts. Pretty good, I'd say.
Pretty good. Nothing left to prove, and really no actionable fantasy advice. I would have to imagine Paul Skeens is at it everywhere. And they don't pay us our six-figure podcast salaries to tell you guys to pick up Paul Skeens for nothing. So
pretty much.
I'm in the first league I've ever been in, my 10-team family league. Just did a cursory check, see if Paul Skeens was there. My uncle has him, who is a Pittsburgh fan, so good for him. I'm stoked, man. It's one of those debuts. I can't think of the last time. I'm going to try and actually carve out some time on Saturday, which is increasingly hard to do these days, but to kind of watch Skeens. It's going to be, it feels like this is like a, I don't know. I think Joe Arrico put a tweet out there. It's like, is this the biggest call-up, biggest debut since Steven Strasburg back in 2010? Yeah. It's hard to think of another one. You know, it's hard to think. Maybe there is, but the hype that Paul Skeens is getting, what we saw from him at LSU, how fast he's risen, it's going to be cool. It's great for the game. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, the Strasburg comp is a great one, because I think it's one of those where most of us remember watching that game, which says everything. Like, just the domination he provided. Hopefully the rest of Skeens' career doesn't end the way Strasburg's does. But as a Giants fan, I remember being pumped for Lincecum, but I don't expect the whole country to be pumped for Lincecum the way I was. But Strasburg's a great national one to bring up here. And I looked, he's 100% rostered in mains, 100% rostered in OCs. So if you stashed him, enjoy the show. I know I have him in a couple 15s stashed around, at least one auction league. I don't know which one. But, we got some stashes of some Skeens to hopefully have some fun with in the coming weeks.
And everyone who stashed him held on. So good on you, I think. I guess he could have been dropped and picked up. But
could have.
Do you think so? Real quick, I know, kind of dovetailing on our Tuesday episode, there have now been two NFBC ADP drafts in season. Paul Skeens going next to Nick Lodolo and Bryce Miller at 125. Where would you rank Skeens among that trio?
I want to stay.
It's an impossible question, I know.
But yeah, I want to say Skeens first, but I lean Bryce Miller. But I want to say Skeens, because Skeens, I think, threw like 130 something innings last year between the college and one little stint in the minors. Like, he stretched out for a regular season pretty much. So, like, you should get another 120 innings out of the guy this year. So I'm leaning Skeens.
And we also have the piece of evidence with Jared Jones. Like, I know they're two different players, but this is – Pittsburgh has been able to call up their top prospect and immediately go with it in the majors. So that can't hurt Paul Skeens.
It's got, if you're a Pirates fan, like I think I mentioned it on one of my shows yesterday, that there's not a whole lot to you know, get excited about recently in Pittsburgh, but now you got Jones and Skeens 2 out of every 5 games. Like, mm-hmm. that's pretty cool stuff to think about. That's like when they had Glasnow and Cole back in the day. Like, you had something to look forward to. They're calling Nick Gonzalez back up on Friday as well. I just saw that before the show, so I didn't put it on the sheet. He's hitting 358 at AAA with carry the 20 extra base hits, his 14 doubles. So he's doing pretty good down there too.
We do have, I hope I don't mispronounce, but Balin in the chat saying Strasburg and Mark Pryor as the other. Pryor. Going back a little bit more with Pryor, but I remember that one as well.
Yep, Pryor would, but Wood would kind of was a later 20K game. But mm-hmm. Definitely on that one, we get another debut, well, this time on Friday, Mr. Bloomfield, a guy you've talked about off and on throughout the preseason and as a guy to maybe stash and whatnot, and that's one Robert Gasser. Now, the 3 games at AAA coming back from injury, not ideal, but I think we'll grain of salt all of that. Just know the skill set that Robert Gasser brings to the table. He'll make his debut on Friday versus the lowly St. Louis Cardinals.
He will, and I might be changing my tune a little bit just because what we saw, I mean, we just saw Milwaukee with one of the crazier transactions of the season, sending Tyler Black down to AAA. I wonder if this is just Gasser filling in for, I think Freddie Peralta's out.
Freddie
this
Peralta's
turn.
Suspended.
I think there's a definite risk of Robert Gasser throwing one start, and maybe even like in a brief, I mean, maybe he's still on his rehab, but they just need a body to pitch in the majors and then get sent True. Back down. And then you tack on the fact that I agree, hasn't looked that great. He's getting strikeouts, Gasser is, in his, you know, 12 innings of rehab starts, but the control hasn't been there and given up some runs. So I'm tepid and maybe still a little bit hurt by the Tyler Black news from last week or this week.
And the thing with Gasser pitching on Friday, if he is just a fill-in, they might send him back down on Saturday to get bullpen help. So that maybe gives us a tip if that's what it is. We'll see. But yeah, it's a good point to be cautious with when it comes to the waiver wire this weekend. Luis Rengifo, you hinted at it, the mascot to the IL with his viral infection backdated to May 6th. So he's technically like on a 6-day IL right now when he could return. But it doesn't look good because it was one of those where they tried to play him and it got worse. Then he hasn't even been on the lineup card, at least the last 2 games, where he was there for a couple days. It reminds me of Kiber Ruiz, who missed some time. Then he came back like 25 pounds lighter and he's been still working his way back. That's what I'm kind of worried about.
Same. Absolutely. And I think Rengifo was in the lineup for one of the games earlier this week and then got scratched.
It was Monday or Tuesday, and then they scratched him. Yeah.
So not great. I know I took a bunch of zeros this week for the mascot. Even though he was out his first lineup, I didn't really have any other options. So, yeah, just hope he – I mean, it's nice to get some – I don't want to say it's finality because we still don't know. Unless you saw something about his condition, yeah. it's just now 10 days at the minimum. So – yeah, like whatever you said, the 14th, 15th.
Yeah, but yeah, at least we have, like you said, at least we have some, like, there's at least something instead of just scratch. Like, give me something. So we know that. And on the bright side, when he comes back, there's really no one holding him back from playing.
Dude. Because it's not going
to hit. We were talking
That's
about
where I was going
show.
Next.
Yeah, we're watching Royals and Angels on TV. It's the only game on. And my God, when Cole Tucker, Luis Guillerme, they picked up Nico Goodrum, it's just dreadful.
Willie Calhoun
was hitting cleanup. Hitting cleanup on Thursday, and they called up Kerryon Paris, a prospect from Double A. They're just desperate for bodies right now.
Yeah, because Brandon Drury got hurt too and got sent
he's
to
the
IL.
He's on the IL with a hamstring, and he
I
said,
wonder if,
he said it's bad. Well, okay. Drury said before they even did the imaging that after the game he was in a lot of pain, so it wasn't just like a basic hamstring injury.
And honestly, Drury getting hurt, this sounds bad, but like. He is Gene Segura award type guy where I think you've already talked about this, Bub, where he's in your lineup just doing absolutely nothing, Brandon Drury. And honestly, now you don't have to leave him in your lineup anymore. Like, replacement level is better than what Brandon Drury has been doing. It's so far, at least for me, a pretty big whiff because I waited on a second base and got Drury in a bunch of spots. So not great.
Yep. It happened to many of us, not just you. Christian Yelich kind of hinted at this earlier. Tuesday night, we talked about how he had like no idea when he was coming back because there was reports like he had setbacks, and it just went quiet. Then all of a sudden, on Wednesday, Christian Yelich is back in the lineup hitting cleanup and playing DH. It was like, whoa. That wasn't the most surprising part, though, like you said, Ryan. Tyler Black went back to AAA. So the floor is yours because it sounds like you have some Tyler Black shares.
I think I only got him in one spot. I was like around 40s, 50s. I was surprised he got sent down. I was surprised at the fab bids where I think a lot of them were at least in 15s entering triple digits. Was very surprised to see Tyler Black. I was worried more just about Platoon. It's just weird to go. I mean, Milwaukee was hitting Tyler Black third and fourth. And granted, he didn't do anything in the whatever 26 plate appearances, but it's just 26 plate appearances. That was a quick hook. And yeah, I remember on the Tuesday show being like, is Christian Yelich alive? We had not heard anything. And then boom, next day, all of a sudden he's back. So Tyler Black, a drop for you. You don't have him, but I think he is for me.
Oh yeah, he's definitely a drop for me. I don't have him like you said, but if I did, I would be dropping Tyler Black. There's no question about that. And I think the outside of that is it makes you start to wonder here on some of these other boys that just call up Loperfido, who's not doing jack except strikeout pretty much.
Back in Chaz Colorado's done nothing.
Yeah, when Chaz McCormick started a rehab assignment yesterday, he might come back this weekend, so that could get interesting. Like you said, yeah, Beck's not doing anything, but there's still no word on Nolan Jones, so that might help a little bit on that one. But it's not been a good year for prospect call-ups right now. Not a whole lot of them sticking around.
And jury's still out on Christian Scott. I'm sure he looks awesome. We'll see.
Yeah, and you think that maybe we get pitchers to stick around a little longer because why use their arm in AAA? But you never know. We've seen weirder things. Yeah. That's for sure. This one sucks. Christian Encarnacion Strand. I say it sucks just because of the whole way it went down. He missed a couple games because he got hit on the hand by a ball. X-rays were negative. He sat out a few days, took batting practice. He's good. Comes back and plays a couple games. And then he has more pain, does another set of imaging, and he has a fracture in his wrist. And this is the moral of the story when we see all these, right after the game when things come back negative, you need swelling to disappear to get proper imaging done. And now CES is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with his fractured wrist.
Yeah, so they just missed it the first time around?
Yes, completely missed it.
Yeah. So. Not great. Certainly could explain the lack of production that we saw with CES. Dude, they brought back the Ford. I'm not driving the Ford, Mike Ford, to be a platoon bat at first base, I guess. Not very interested in that. The Reds are down bad right now, and for as many injuries as the Angels have had, I think the Reds are giving them a run for their money. It's been very rough. They do get set to look ahead at our schedule. The Reds do get 7 games this week, 5 against righties. So, like, if you're desperate, Mike Ford, but I don't know. You got to be pretty desperate.
Ford is, I'm going to say, maybe kind of, sort of, slightly better than Joey Gallo. That's way I see him. He probably has a little better batting average, but you're just praying he runs into some home runs. Like, he's got the Matt Waldner vibes type thing. That's who Mike Ford is. So,
well, he's also right 31. I mean, we've seen Mike Ford, unless there's some magic transformation. Did hit 297 at AAA this year with 6 homers, but that's AAA. I don't know. I'm skeptical.
Yeah, most definitely. A couple more here. Edward Cabrera left his start on Tuesday. You might have heard about it on some other shows. But he is going to the IL with right shoulder impingement. It's his second stint in the last 3 months on the IL. I don't like the sounds of this at all.
Nope. Not at all. It's good for the Marlins that Braxton Garrett's coming back. But I think Edward Cabrera is unfortunately a drop everywhere.
All right, so Stephen Crawford in the chat here says from an
Angels we got some news beat writer,
he says Rengifo has a rash after his fever, and now it's become a bunch of blisters on the bottom of his feet. So being on his feet and running around for a whole game would make it worse. Kind of makes sense if you thought he could play and then he tried to play and he couldn't play thing and it got worse. That at least makes sense. It's a weird infection, but it's a viral infection. So
yeah, can't wait till I get a bunch of blisters on the bottom of my feet. Can't walk if that's next for me.
It's a good thing we sit down and do podcasts. You're good to go, buddy. Yeah. Good to go.
It's a good thing I really don't move for fantasy baseball in my day job.
Yeah, there'll be no off days for you, buddy. Rest up. Rest up. last Appreciate bit of news your, we have here. Yeah, it's deep. last bit of news here, Jorge Soler to the IL with a shoulder injury. I had some people messaging me on Monday. Should I start him? Should I not? I actually said don't for two reasons. I said, A, if the Giants are half smart, which if you watch the games, it's still questionable, they should just IL him to get it right because it seems like the struggles would probably be shoulder related. And I said, B, if he does play and his shoulder is hurt, it doesn't matter if he's in Coors Field or not. Like, it's just, it's never going to be productive. So I said sit him. I obviously could have been proven wrong. Knock on wood, this one worked out well. So what would you do? Would you, there's been no timeline yet. So would you add, drop, or would you drop Jorge Soler?
I mean, it's tough. I'd hold him. I would hold in the hopes that he gets right and comes back with the Jorge Soler that we've been used to. I mean, this is a guy barrel rate over 15% in three of the last five seasons. And the two seasons he didn't, barrel rate was at 12%. That's very, very good. And then for that to tank just to like 5%, that, like you said, it's gotta be shoulder related. I think when Soler comes back, he's an everyday guy. You just hope that the healing, the time off actually heals his shoulder. I have no idea if that's true or not, but, or if that will come to fruition, but that's the hope. And I'm holding out for that hope.
Yep, that's my thoughts as well. I'd hold, hope he comes back healthy and he's good to go, but a lot of hopes, like you said. Eric Halterman in the chat here says, how many saves did Edward Cabrera get in 2025? Ooh. The Marlins got a lot of those guys. That's the problem. A lot of those guys.
AJ Puck.
Yeah, what's up, Balin says here. AJ Puck might end up closing after all once he gets back to the bullpen and the Marlins trade Scott. Then they'll trade Puck. You are 100%. I see that actually playing out in real life, yes.
Yeah,
that seems very possible.
Can they get anything for Tanner Scott?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. At the trade deadline, every eighth and ninth inning arm is worth something, like at least a couple, like at least minor prospects. As you can tell, they want quantity over quality right now. So Tanner Scott will not be there after the trade deadline.
He's got, I think, one more strikeout than walk all year.
Yeah, he'll
be gone. And a 2.57 ERA. That's pretty damn hard to do.
Yep. He'll be gone. I can see Puck being gone. There's already like some people saying, what about De La Cruz and Chisholm? Like, I think anybody's available at the right price, pretty much, with the Marlins. It's pretty bleak out there right now. So yeah, we'll wait and see. All right, let's get fabbing. Let's have some fun with this one. We'll do our schedule deal here, team by team, breaking it down for the week. And then we will talk CBS, most added for the week, then talk some two-star pitchers. And we'll keep going with the chat as well. So, Mr. Bloomfield, anything we need to know that's new or different you want to discuss before we go rocking and rolling team by team?
What do we got? We got no five-game weeks this week or next week coming up. We've got a bunch of baseball. Okay. Looks like maybe 10 teams with seven, so that's nice. Our team-level WRC Plus tracker for the season, the Chicago White Sox still bringing up the rear with a 71 as a team. Again, your league average on WRC Plus, which is a little bit of a fantasy stat, doesn't weigh in steals as much, but just overall hitting production, league average is 100. So White Sox are awful. Colorado 74, Miami 78. So we got that as the Dodgers continue to just blow away every single offensive, I don't want to say record, but category. They're unbelievable. 133 WRC plus as a team. Like 133 is amazing for a single player. As a team, that's absurd.
It's ridiculous. I'll mention a couple things that just stand out to me. The Braves are still really good at 112, but that has been going backwards lately. So just keep that in mind. Not saying, you know, the Braves suck, but just if you have streamers, they're not as bad as they once were type things. Yankees are up to 118. Phillies and Padres are creeping up as well. So a couple teams are starting to become a little more, you know, ferocious, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word as the season goes on here, but baseball is all about streaks, folks. So just keep that in mind. It'll change.
Yeah, good call. And I knew Philly was stroking it. San Diego. I did not know San Diego was hitting well. 114. Yep. I didn't know they were hitting that well.
So. Yep. And they're I can't remember who they play now. I did it for my matchups earlier today. I should probably know these things. They got the Dodgers, actually. And versus right-handed pitching, they've been like a 131 WRC plus versus righties. So Glasnow's pitching tomorrow night. I'd still start Glasnow, obviously, but they're striking out like 18% with the 131 WRC plus. So it might not be as much of a cakewalk as usual. That's all I'm trying to say. So fun stuff there. All right, let's go team by team here and knock them out of the park. Arizona Diamondbacks. They have six games this week, all at home. Cincinnati, Detroit, four righties, two lefties. Anything stand out to you here with the almost a 50-50 split.
Yeah, almost a 50-50 split. So you're again, we kind of lead off with Jock Peterson every week. Had a week this week, or is having a week.
Dude, okay, question for you. He got a steal on Thursday. I'll just say it this way. Do you remember the last year he had a stolen base?
Yeah, I saw it. 2022.
Okay, so you saw it. Okay, yeah. That's impressive stuff. Like, this is the like, we all thought last year with the new steals rule, everyone was a steal. No, it's this year. Like, Eloy gets a steal, Jock gets a steal. Like, all these guys are running all of a sudden. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Honestly, the biggest takeaway is just, and again, kind of the stuff we kind of go down with these schedules is the opponent. So, like, it's Cincinnati, Detroit. So, Hunter Green is this, it's Ashcraft, Green, Andrew Abbott. Hunter Green, I'm worried about. I've talked before about not being able to hold velocity over a full season. Hunter Green velocity was down, I think, two full ticks in his last start. And then Arizona finishes with Detroit with Skubal and Flaherty. That's brutal, given the way obviously Skubal's pitched, but Jack Flaherty as well. But then they get that easy soft landing on
nice Sunday. Sunday afternoon.
You had a little tug in cheek tweet about Kenta Maeda the other day. I saw he is not back. I guess.
Yeah, because I got a little tongue in cheek directed my way after the last two starts, and I just want to remind everybody that, yeah, not so fast, my friends. And I don't think it's going to be any better this week either. As you see, the Diamondbacks are up to 105 WRC pluses. They're hitting quite well also. Yep. Atlanta Braves, they have six games this week. They're all at home. The Cubs and the San Diego Padres, five right-handed pitchers. You know, Jared Kelenic's actually available in a handful of leagues. That'd be the one dude. But other than that, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, that's, I mean, Jared Kelenic, he's hitting .286, but it's a 33% K rate, one home run. Yeah, it's not all that great, but he will probably play five times and miss a marquee matchup on probably Monday. It doesn't say what day they're playing against Shota Imanaga against the Braves. That'll be fun to watch. And Kelenic sits that one, but five decent righties for Jared Kelenic. I've given up hope of him turning things around at this point, but there is that.
31% rostered in OC, so lots of availability if you're feeling frisky. Baltimore Orioles, they continue to have fun, but they've been kind of slumping as of late. Like, we can all admit that. But they get six games this week, all at home. Toronto Blue Jays for three against the Seattle Mariners, who had the best pitching staff in baseball until they met the Rally Sausage in Minnesota.
God, that thing is bizarre.
And they have not, and they said it stinks to high heaven. They have not changed it out either.
It's the same sausage?
Yeah, it's like wrapped in a wrapper and in like a Ziploc bag type setup. It's wild.
Is there like an end game to this where it goes away?
I don't know. Like, there was like rumors they were going to get rid of it, and then, you know, Ryan Jeffers hit a home run again. So yeah. they keep using it.
That's your boy. All right. Well, probably look out for some viral infections.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be some salmonella, E. coli. I don't know. Something's going to be going through that clubhouse pretty soon.
So I would check to see if
or there's going to be rodents in the clubhouse. One of the two.
Well, it's not good. Anyway, I Ryan O'Hearn is the guy this week against five righties, against five, well, the Seattle righties are, and that's probably not Emerson Hancock. I don't know. No, it's probably Brian Wu.
It's Brian Wu, yeah.
Emerson Hancock got sent down, so it's Castillo, Wu, George Kirby. So Ryan O'Hearn's at least interesting to me. The Orioles have faced four lefties in their last six games, so O'Hearn has only played two of the last six, so might be available if other guys have soured on Ryan O'Hearn. So that would be – it's really kind of the only move, I think, for Baltimore this week.
Yeah, right. Oh, wow. Ryan O'Hearn is 87% rostered in OCs.
Wow. I underestimated that.
I did not expect that either. I was with you.
Because you couldn't play him this week.
He's only 47% started, 87% rostered.
All right. Smart people. Smart people.
Yeah. Yep. Boston Red Sox, they get seven games this week. They get four at home versus Tampa, three at the St. Louis Cardinals, all seven for now right-handed pitchers. This could be a fun one, except I respect three out of the four pitchers in Tampa Bay, at least.
Yeah. Which one don't you respect? Eflin, Savali, Bradley, or Littell?
I'll let you guess, Ryan. You get one guess. You guess? Starts with a C.
Yeah, it's messed up, man. You're doubting my guy, Savali. I wrote about him at HQ today. He's turning it around, dude.
How'd that go against the White Sox?
All right. He's turning around. That is a tough. Well, yeah, Kyle Gibson twice. That's not right.
It's because they had the rain out, so it screwed you up. Yeah. It's probably Sonny Gray in one of those two starts. It's either that or it's Liberatore. But I'd imagine it's Gray.
All right. Still, if it's seven righties, Dominic Smith, Willier Abreu, maybe.
Say that with some more conviction.
I would say it with more conviction over Willier Abreu. Dominic Smith. Ugh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't do it.
No. It's one of those, get your Willier Abreu if he's available. Otherwise, it's a nice setup with seven righties, but I wouldn't get, overly excited about it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, agreed.
Chicago Cubs, they have six games this week. They go to Atlanta for three, and then And then they're four at home against Pittsburgh. You get Jones and Skeens in that one to start things off. Oof. The Cubbies get Jones and Skeens back to back.
Yeah, that's
we get them this weekend and next weekend.
We're gonna start to see what that looks like, and that could be tough. And the Cubs are not hitting
right now.
It's in the bullpen's bad. They're kind of in a rough spot. Dansby Swanson's knee's bothering him. So that's one thing. Like, I don't know if you have Dansby Swanson, are you starting to look at some backups? Maybe make sure you've got at least someone in middle that you can backfill there. But I don't know. It's kind of a split schedule. Michael Bush has calmed down a little bit. What's Crow Armstrong up to lately?
Nothing. He plays defense.
Plays defense. That's better than
Say not. Is back. So that might cut into that. Talkman.
Yep.
I honestly think PCA gets sent down, but I could be wrong.
He might, especially once Bellinger is good to go for center. Could happen.
Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, and like your K to walk number, it would be a lot higher if Skeen had a K to walk. Let's put it that way. So it's already one of the highest ones on the week. And that's without Paul Skeen's numbers.
Yep. That's an 18% or 17% strikeout to walk on average against the Cubs next week. So it could be tough. Yes, Paul Skeen's not included. So that could be a rough one.
They're going to strike out a lot next week, folks. So if you like do K props or you like DFS, you're going to start the pitchers against the Cubs next week, I think, at least until the weekend. Cincinnati Reds, that 80 WRC plus. White Cubs with 71. The Reds have seven games next week, all on the road. That's not good. They get three at the Arizona Diamondbacks, three at the Los Angeles Dodgers. The weird thing is I'm not like overly concerned about, I'd say, half of the starts. So, but it's still Cincinnati on the road.
Yeah, it's Cincinnati on the road, and given the split I talked about Mike Ford earlier, I don't see Fab pickups here. We had a comment, I believe, earlier in the chat about Jamer Candelario starting to turn things around a little bit, so maybe that helps, but I don't see much there. I noticed you skipped the White Sox, and I approve your decision, even if it was a mistake.
Yeah, must have been like a Freudian slip on that one. 71 WRC plus. The Cubs were 102. The White Sox are 71. The White Sox get six games, and we can move on.
Yep.
Cleveland Guardians, they've been scuffling a bit of late as well. They put up a ton of runs. They put up two solo home runs on Thursday, but as a whole, not doing great. Six games this week, three at the Texas Rangers, three at home against Minnesota. All six righties, though, if you're looking for some Cleveland help. But just, I think I'm getting over the fact of rostering Will Brennan anymore.
Yeah, we can't say it every week. Kyle Manzardo will get some run, I think.
Yes, he will. Yes, he should play every game.
Play every game. It's been, it's only been eight plate appearances, a lot of strikeouts, but let's see what happens there. What's your deal with Bo Naylor? What's your take on Bo Naylor since he is
a
lefty?
We have a listener question on that later. We'd like to save it on that one. We'll save that. Yeah, but I'm looking at Manzardo so far, 2 for 12 with two singles, 42% K rate. Obviously, still early. Should play all next week. Decent matchups. My question to you, he's 15% in OCs. You don't have to give me an exact number, but can you give me a pocket of where you would think his fab dollars go?
Pocket.
So it makes
yeah, if he keeps struggling like this, I'd say like $50. in 15s.
Yeah, I'd probably like be going. I'd say anywhere from 30 to 50, somewhere in that range. But someone in every league will come in with like $280 and walk away. But I just won't be able to do it.
Yeah, I won't either. But I think if Manzardo continued to struggle this weekend, I think bids will go down. And actually, I mean, schedule wise, you kind of want Manzardo to struggle this week and then maybe starts to figure things out next week against all right-handed pitchers.
Yeah, because Lorenzen, Leiter, those are good matchups. Yeah. Richardson could be, even though I like him, I just know who he is. Paddock, like even Ober can give the long ball. So there's spots.
It's not a bad schedule.
For sure. Colorado Rockies, the dreadful Rockies, 74 WRC plus.
Whew. Road Rockies. They got
six games and they're the Road Rockies all on the road. They get three at San Diego, three at the Giants. Pass.
All I got here is yes, pass on the hitter side. It's Ryan Feltner week again, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, yes, it is. The Giants going suck.
At San Francisco. I am back in. I cannot rid myself of this guy. Let's do it.
2 years in a row.
That's somewhat in jest. I would not recommend to listeners pick up Ryan Feltner, but he is still lingering on a few of my teams. So, and Colorado's so bad. Like it's actually a decent matchup for him.
In 15s, Feltner is actually probably a pretty good start. 12s, like you could probably go somewhere else, but 15s, he's actually probably a decent stream for the week. I'd be pretty honest in that one. All right, Detroit Tigers, they're actually starting to hit a little better of late, so that's a plus. They have six games on the week, three at home versus Miami, three at the Arizona Diamondbacks. Problem, it's three lefties and three righties.
Yes, and so, yeah, you're not, like, it's a tough week for Kerry Carpenter. It's a tough week for Andy Ibañez, who had a two-homer game this week.
He's not bad for the fact, because he came back from the IL, and he's already starting to produce and seems playing time is gonna be there, but yeah, it might still be a split, like a platoon for him, so kind of monitor it some more. But since he returned on April 30th, Andy Ibañez, he's playing pretty much every single day. He's hitting towards the top of the order the last 4 days.
Yeah, he's been second or first,
hitting .391 with two homers, seven runs scored.
Again, desperation, but I've always kind of he's been Andy Ibañez has been hot in spots in previous years, so I like that. We talked about Wensiel Perez last week as a potential fab ad, caught an illness this week, so hasn't really done much, and then apparently gave it to Mark Canha, who has an illness the last two games.
What's with these illnesses?
I got it, so whatever. If Wensiel Perez is healthy and maybe people saw that he did not play 2 weeks and is a drop, I guess he can't drop and pick him up the same week, so I don't know what I'm talking about at this point.
I do want to apologize real quick. There is one White Sox player I am interested in, and his name is Brian Ramos, the third baseman that got called up, prospect for Chicago. I grabbed him in a couple leagues last week. Got him cheap because he kind of flew under the radar. Dude's hitting .389, like 7 for 19 since he's been called up. Two doubles, playing every day at third base. Dude's got some pop and only 5% K, 1K in those 20 plate appearances, which I like to see. He's a guy I would be interested in especially if there's a question later about quarter infield help. Ramos would be one of the dudes I have towards the top of that list.
I like that. And certainly more than I not to speak for you, but more than Mike Ford, Dominic Smith, yada, yada, 100%. Yada.
Yes. Brian Ramos is a dude I think could actually be valuable this season, even on a bad White Sox team.
And the White Sox get four lefties. Ramos is a righty. One of those lefties is Patrick Corbin. So
boom.
Yeah, I could see it, man. Good call.
Yep. Houston Astros, they have seven games this week, all at home. So the cheap Crawford boxes will be in play here. They get the A's for four, then the Brew Crew for three, two lefties, five righties. Chaz McCormick should be back to start the week, so we'll see how Joey's doing up there. But anything else of interest for you with the Houston Astros?
There's not too much. I start to wonder if Joey Leiperfido will, what will happen there. Has started just one of the last three games for the Astros, and like you said, with McCormick coming back, that could be tricky. John Singleton, maybe.
He's crushing it.
He's playing every day. He's got three homers, and he's got how many barrels in four barrels and 78 plate appearances. So that could work, especially seven games, five against righties. That could
yeah, Singleton went deep again on Thursday over his last nine games, only hitting 241, but four homers and 10 RBIs. Yep. So a lot of pop there for Mr. Singleton, if that's something you're interested in. I don't hate that at all.
Something else from Baylen in the chat. What? No fam for you, Bubba. I think we've moved on from fam in terms of he's the Will Brennan. We can't talk about him.
Oh, no, I'm playing fam every week. I have fam rostered. I thought he was already taken everywhere. Sorry.
Yeah, that's why we don't. Yeah. But yeah, yes, Tommy fam is probably their best fantasy hitter on the White Sox.
Yeah, if fam is available in your league, yes, please add him immediately. I don't care what matchups they have.
Yeah.
So that would be my suggestion on that one. All right, next up here we have the Kansas City Royals, who put a beatdown on the Angels on Thursday night. They have six games on the week, three at the Seattle Mariners, three at home versus the Oakland A's, five righties, one lefty. Your boy Massey's been playing pretty well.
Yes, he has. I like that. I like Mikel Garcia's owned everywhere, but he's back, I think. And who else am I thinking of getting some pub?
Daron
Blanco. Yes. Yep. If you need steals, Daron Blanco is starting to pick up some playing time. Already has eight steals. That's not a typo, on a .222 batting average. So when he gets on base, he is running. There's a little bit of a one-trick pony effect there. Though did have three homers, Blanco did last season, 138 plate appearances with a .258 batting average. So maybe some non-zero power, and given the strikeout rate for Daron Blanco, the batting average might not be too bad either.
Yep. I like the Blanco call. He's been playing quite well. He even hit a home run on Thursday night, which he does not do very often. So someone to keep in mind indeed. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. That 97 WRC plus is not accurate for what team was on the field tonight. That's all I'm going to say.
That's Mike Trout accounting for.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't count anymore. They have six games this week. They're at home for three versus the Cardinals and three at Texas. Two lefties, four righties. Yeah, I just no.
No, I mean I don't think you can go Moniak, Calhoun,
no,
Luis Guillerme, Cole Tucker, even though Cole Tucker is playing every day.
It's nuts.
It's a no-go.
Yep, no go for that one. Los Angeles Dodgers, they have seven games this week. They are at the Giants for three, and then at home for four against the Cincinnati Reds. One lefty, six righties. They just keep mashing. I don't know who's available, though.
Yeah, I wonder, like, James Outman. He's probably still.
I doubt people gave up on him, but
he's hitting 163.
55% rostered right now in OCs.
I could see that. James Outman has been awful with 30% strikeout rate. But again, this is a guy who is, James Outman is 26 and last year hit 23 homers, 16 steals, and hit .248 over a full season. Like, righty heavy week could be what the doctor ordered for James Outman, because I still think he's playing despite the slump. Playing every day against righties. So I like James Outman as a pickup in 12 teamers.
Yep, I don't hate that as well, especially with the matchups, like you said, for the week. Good spot for him indeed. Miami Marlins, they have six games this week. They get at Detroit for three, at home for three versus the Mets. Five righties on the docket. Nick Gordon's actually been playing well, Bloomfield. I'll give you that one. Nick Gordon's been playing pretty darn good, but he's 0% rostered in 12s right now. So, it's about all I got for you on this one.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at Vidal Brujan. I talked about him a little bit either last show or last week, but I don't know. Still only two steals, hitting .266. So that's a desperation move. And even Nick Gordon, though I will always have a soft spot in my heart for Nick Gordon. I don't think that's an ad in 15 teamers.
Yeah, the Miami moves are probably deeper leagues. That's like your seventh play on a waterfall type situation. Milwaukee Brewers, though, they can rake. They have six games this week. They get three at home against Pittsburgh, three at the Houston Astros, and my oh my, the five righties, one lefty, and a beautiful set of matchups.
Yes. Is that God, my eyes are killing me. 9% strikeout to walk. Good Lord.
Second best on the week.
Second best of the week. And big reason behind that is they're missing Skeens and Jared Jones on the Pittsburgh turn, and missing Framber.
And they get spaghetti on the weekend.
They get spaghetti on the weekend. Spaghetti's good. But I don't know. Pickup wise, we could say Blake Perkins again, but
He's
Joey Ortiz, perhaps. I don't know.
It's bleak. They're pretty much all rostered now that they've been so good. Perkins would be a guy I'd look at if he's available. He's been quite serviceable. He's 36% rostered. I want to see how they utilize the Yelich offense over the weekend.
Right.
That's exactly one thing I'm very curious about on that.
I think Perkins was initially called up as part of the Yelich IL. I believe that's right.
For now, he's still there. My question for you, with all of these right-handed pitchers, can I interest you in Jake Bowers at all?
No.
No. I went deep on Thursday.
Yeah, he did. Good for him.
He's only hitting 205 on the year with 3 home runs, 40% strikeout rate.
Yeah, so you cannot interest me in Jake Bowers. I've been there. We've all been there.
Yes, we've all been there many times through. All right, Minnesota Twins, this team is just crushing. I'd be shocked if guys are still available, but it's baseball, so they will be. But they get 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the Yankees, 3 at the Cleveland Guardians, 4 righties, 2 lefties, pretty solid set of pitching matchups. But my, oh my, like Kepler this past week, Larnick's been going off. The lefties we've talked about, Bloom, they've been balling out and should be in play again next week.
Yep, we'll continue to hype the Minnesota lefties. Edward Julian, Trevor Larnick, Max Kepler, and Alex Kirilloff, while they are healthy, the Twins lit up Logan Gilbert today and looked very good doing it. So even in a 4-game week for right-handed pitching, those lefty twin bats are, I think, must roster, definitely in 15s. I don't know about 12s as much, but probably in 12s too.
Yeah. Larnick's only 28% in 12s. I have him in like every 12 I can, so I'm pretty shocked by that. I like Larnick over Kirilloff because Larnick has power. Kirilloff does not. Kirilloff 75% rostered, so that just shows you there's always an edge, folks. But I would like Larnick again this week. I think he's going to play a lot, period, but I like him quite a bit. New York Mets, they have 7 games this week. They have a fun schedule. They have at home versus Philly, on the road against Philly. It must be a doubleheader, home and home or something. And then at the Miami Marlins to finish the week 4-3. So 4 against Philly, 3 at the Marlins, 4 lefties, 3 righties. Not a whole lot you can do here, I think.
No, not a whole lot you can do. You don't want to go down the DJ Stewart path to failure. Nor the Jeff McNeil, nor the Omar Narvaez or Tomas. Yeah.
You don't want to do any of those.
God, that's a tough back half of that lineup. And Pete Alonso's the struggle bus. JD Martinez is, I think, hitting for average, but I don't.
He's 1-for-1 on breaking arms.
For any power. Yes, he's not whiffing on catchers. Has 1 run, 2 RBI, and 41 plate appearances for JD Martinez. So quickly entering the Gene Segura territory where why am I starting and what am I getting out of JD Martinez starting him in my utility?
The problem is with JD Martinez, like, yes, bench, you can't drop. That's the hard part. That's the
agreed.
That's the tricky part with Jay, but I do agree. He's definitely, you can at least look at the options to bench him if you have healthy players right now. Totally agree with you there. All right, New York Yankees, one of the best offenses in baseball right now. They have 6 games this week, 3 at Minnesota, 3 at home against the White Sox, all versus right-handed pitching, and the best K to walk against on the week at 8.1%.
And I think that K to walk, because that's crazy. That K to walk includes Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan. That speaks to how bad White Sox, Mike Clevenger, Soroka, and Flexen. Although Flexen's pitched
he's
little
been good, better. He's just not striking out a ton of guys.
I mean, it's Chris Flexen. So, I don't know that. I mean, any Yankees?
Not really.
Pick upable. That's the problem.
If you're looking at lefties, Soto, Verdugo's heavily rostered. I talked about him with Tid on Monday. Rizzo's taken. Austin Wells, maybe if you want to catch your stream for the week, would be a guy to look at, but I'm not going Trent Grisham, so I'm pretty much screwed on that one.
Are you still rolling with Gleyber Torres? Like, just starting? You're not dropping
him. I'd bench him if you have other options. Put that.
God, dude, 213 batting average, 1 home run, 7 RBI for Gleyber.
Yeah,
and it's a 280 BABIP. It's not that bad. It's not that unlucky. Just no power from Gleyber Torres, but
maybe he's hurt.
I think at the very least, Gleyber Torres is a sit for the first half of this week against 100% against Lopez and Joe Ryan.
I can agree with Dale on that one. All right, the Oakland Athletics, the ever heating up Oakland Athletics, they get 7 games this week, all on the road. 4 at Houston, 3 at Kansas City. They got the spaghetti. You got Whip Blanco. You got Javier. You got that's a tough Kansas City crew, actually. What are you doing here in Oakland? Because there are people to add if you're desperate.
Yeah, we gave Tyler Nevin some luck or some love.
Yeah, that didn't
last week well. It worked out very well. I think we have a listener question on that later on. How many righties for Oakland? Where am I at?
Five.
Seth Brown's mildly interesting. Now that he's back playing against right-handed pitching. Brett Harris has 3 home runs and is playing every day at third base. I would not recommend Brett Harris nor their leadoff hitter Abraham Toro. So I don't know. There's not much there, but maybe Seth Brown. If you're looking for an outfielder,
JJ Bleda, he's also 9% rostered, hit in the middle of that order. I wouldn't hate that. These are all deep league plays. Don't go desperate. There's a comment about Rooker, dark horse MVP. He's streaking again right now. He's streaking very well right now. But I say streaking because that's what Rooker does. But it's going good. The A's, I like them. I think they'll put up some runs next week. It's just tough to roster them, because what the A's do best is they hit for a very, very low average and they rely on the long ball. So
always
you get part of the greatness of fantasy that just drains the other part of your fantasy team at the same time. So it's a yin and a yang situation with them.
Real quick, couple good listener comments from Baylen. JD Martinez, a 12% barrel rate, so he's hitting the ball hard, 91 mile an hour exit velocity. So hopefully that starts turning around. And then Michael Cicchini, Gleyber getting hit on the hand will be in Jeff Zimmerman's guys who played through injury article in October. That is right. I think, Michael, you've commented on that in the past. I think it was the second game of the season where he got hit on the hand. So that could certainly be lingering for Gleyber Torres.
No doubt about it. The red hot fighting Phillies, they get 7 games this week. They got the Mets for 4, the Nats for 3, 3 lefties, 4 righties. Not a whole lot you can do with that.
Yeah, that's the problem. They're so good that Whit Merrifield, like, mildly, but it's been all right-handed pitching against the Phillies this week, and Whit Merrifield has started twice, 2 of the last 3. So maybe there's something there, but everyone else is gone, I think.
Yeah, everyone else should be gone or isn't really that exciting. But, yeah, Whit's only 18% rostered in OCs, so that could be a fun one to kind of take some shots on and see how that one goes. Pittsburgh Pirates, they have 7 games this week. They got 3 at the Milwaukee Brewers, 4 at the Chicago Cubs, the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. They face 5 right-handed pitchers in those 7 games. So it could be a Captain Jack week if you trust his .220 batting average. I'm just guessing that's what it is because it's that bad. But anything in Pittsburgh for you?
No, not really. Rowdy's still in there going, hitting 200 with 1 home run in 106 plate appearances. He's fallen off. It's a decent first half of the week schedule against Colin Ray, Joe Ross. I don't even know who Myers is. Tobias Myers.
Tobias, yeah.
And then it gets tougher against that Cubs rotation. So Pittsburgh's not a place I'm shopping this week.
Nope, not at all. San Diego Padres, they have 6 games this week. They have the Rockies at home for 3 and then 3 at Atlanta. The third easiest K to walk because they face the Rockies, which always helps. Yes. And Bryce Elder's not very good either. 4 right-handed pitchers out of the 6 games for San Diego. Anything here for you? Because I think most of the guys we want are going to be rostered as well.
And they all play every day. So, I don't know. No, there's not really much you can do. They're healthy and hitting, which is good to see. But there's no platoons to take advantage of, and I think pretty much all their regulars are rostered. Maybe not Jackson Merrill, but
he's not worth rostering.
And yeah, maybe it's for a reason. So
yeah, it's 2024, and Jerkson Profar is 98% rostered, hitting .328 with 6 homers, 22 runs, and 27 RBIs.
It's crazy.
What a time to be alive!
Jackson Merrill hitting .274, 4 steals, 2 homers. Not bad. Mid-teen strikeout rate and some hard contact. But I don't know.
Yeah, no. San Francisco Giants, they got 6 games this week, all at home, 3 versus the Dodgers, 3 versus the Rockies, 6 right-handed pitching. So as bad as their offense is, if you're ever going to stream Giants, this is the weeks to do it. Lamont Wade's been the best hitter they have right now. He's been very good. Conforto had a good week, but should be kind of rostered, but might be available. Those would be the main two I would look at. Yaz has even kind of fallen off the map. I liked him for Colorado, not so much anywhere else. So that's the main two guys I would look at.
Yeah, and even Lamont Wade, he is hitting 341. But that's off a probably one of the highest, if not the highest, BABIP in the league. 491, basically half the balls he puts in play are dropping for hits. That is absurd after 106.
It's almost his OBP, too.
What is his OBP? Is it massive? He's got a 20% walk rate. God.
Yeah, it was like 480 the other day when I was watching.
Oh, my God. 491.
He gets on base almost half the time right now.
Oh, no, 472. I don't know what I'm looking at.
So he just doesn't do a lot with the power.
But he doesn't do anything else. Right.
Yeah. It's empty stats.
Yep. So. And I don't know. Other lefties, Yastrzemski, Blake Sable, second catcher, maybe.
Bailey should be back any day unless his concussion's really bad. He should be back any day. So keep an eye on the weekend. If Bailey's like the concussion's really bad, which can happen, then Sable might have a little bit. He's actually hitting pretty well. He even DH'd on Thursday while Reed's caught. So there's something there possibly. Seattle Mariners, they have six games this week, three at home versus the Kansas City Royals, three at the Baltimore Orioles, five right-handed pitchers, and one of the tougher schedules this week when it comes to pitching they are facing.
Yes, which does not bode well for the Mariners, who still cannot hit. I don't know. We talked about Josh Rojas last week and was a pretty popular ad in Fab last week. But if Josh Rojas is still around, I still like him leading off against right-handed pitching, which the Mariners get five of them. So pretty tough schedule too, though. Pretty tough schedule. Yep. Like Kansas City, man, shout out to Kevin Hastings. They got a squad.
Yep, they're having some fun out there. They're definitely having some fun. Rojas, 56% rostered in OC, so that should go up even more this weekend. St. Louis Cardinals have six games this week, three at the AAA Angels and three at home versus the Boston Red Sox. The Cardinals faced five right-handed pitchers, but the Cardinals kind of stink too. So, man, it's a great schedule to attack, but I'm not sure it's that exciting.
Yeah, I wonder if I should change that LAA abbreviation for the Angels to AAA.
You should. Might AAA. Work. That's fair.
Dude, I mean, Nolan Gorman is platooning.
It's crazy.
It's been bad. I don't know. I always talk about Alec Burleson.
He went deep this week.
Mm-hmm. He did, but
Ivan Herrera is the conversation point here.
Yes, hasn't played the last two games.
He's been DHing.
No.
He DH'd on Tuesday. They didn't play on Wednesday.
I don't know, man. This thing I'm looking at. You DH'd on Monday.
Take some more NyQuil or something.
Yeah. Shit. I don't know, man. The thing I'm looking at says he didn't play Tuesday or Thursday, and he DH'd on Monday.
He caught on the 7th, which was Tuesday. He DH'd on Monday. He caught on Sunday.
All right, we'll move. Dude, I'm going to screenshot this thing.
I'm looking at Fangraphs game logs right now.
Dude, no, check this out. I'm switching this over. Because I am not, like, I'm messed up. But I'm not that bad. Let's see. How do we do this?
And we're screenshotting it for the show. If you're on YouTube, you get to see what Ryan's looking at here.
Yeah, I mean, terrible podcasting, but I'm showing Bubba the roster resource page of the Cardinals. You see the damn, can you see it? Where is it at? Can I zoom in? Look at this. Get those glasses on. Oh, God.
That's what I just told you. They didn't play on Wednesday. They had a rainout.
But he didn't play Tuesday.
Why does it say Thursday, Tuesday, Monday, Sunday? What are we doing here?
Because they had a rainout on Wednesday. You just said that.
Oh, you got me all confused now.
All right,
whatever. I don't believe
it. Really doesn't matter.
No. Yeah, he didn't start today, is what Eric said. That's fine. My point was he phased the first two games of the week. He won't play every day, but he's going to play more often than not because he's the primary catcher for the St. Louis Cardinals.
That may have been the low point of our podcast, those last 3 minutes.
And we warned everybody at the beginning of the show. We warned everybody at the beginning of the show this was going to happen. This was on me.
All right.
Tampa Bay Rays. Low points here. Tampa Bay Rays, they have 7 games this week, all on the road. They have 4 at the Boston Red Sox, 3 at the Toronto Blue Jays. Interesting pitching matchups. I like most of them, except if you have any Tampa Bay Rays, start them all versus Alek Manoah. And the good thing is Tampa Bay faces 7 right-handed pitchers, which is pretty sweet, Bloomfield.
Yep. So if Richie Palacios is out there, I like him playing second. Playing second base, but also hitting second a good amount against right-handed pitching. And if you need a second catcher, Ben Rorvet, 2-star review on that one, I'm sure, is their platoon catcher against right-handed pitching. So may get 4, maybe 5 starts this week.
Richie Palacios didn't play Wednesday or Monday. You still want to play him? I'm just kidding.
Should I contest that fact?
I'm actually looking at Roster Resource now just to play with you. I'm just messing with you. He's playing – the one thing about Richie, which is great, is he's playing second base, which is awesome.
Yep.
But Brandon Lau is on rehab right now and should return this weekend. Okay. So keep that in the back pocket. This is definitely one to watch, because if Lau comes back and Palacios now is platooning in the outfield again, obviously hurts things. He should play every day versus 7 right-handed pitchers. I agree with all of that, but I just wanted to bring that up because that could change things a bit. The guy I want to shout out is Johnny DeLuca, who's playing every single
day. Oh, yeah. How could I?
I mean, he's only 7% rostered, and those must all be on my teams. So Johnny DeLuca is the dude you need.
Yeah, you were all over Johnny DeLuca this week.
Yes,
I am. You were all over him. That was a good move. So, yes, DeLuca. What did you say? Roster
7%. No,
10%. Yeah, so that'll go up, and that should go up. That's probably. Yeah, that's my bad. That's the headliner here.
Yeah, that's the guy we want to roster. But just watch the Rays, because when they're healthy, which they really haven't been all year, we've always said it, they're a heavy platoon team. So, you know, Josh Lowe came back. Brandon Lau should come back this weekend. That's really going to shake some things up. Like Amed Rosario is now back to platooning more often than not, like type situation. So definitely keep an eye on that and see how that one plays out.
That's a good call, because I have Rosario on a bunch of teams and maybe bench time. Mostly
in when Josh Lowe and DeLuca came back, Rosario started platooning at second base with Palacios. But now if Brandon Lau comes back, that throws another wrench in things too. So keep an eye on Tampa this weekend. Texas Rangers, they have 6 games this week, all at home against Cleveland and the Angels. That seems pretty good to me. Just going to throw it out there just because the Angels, for one, are pitching. 4 righties, 2 lefties. On the weekend against the Angels, it's 2 lefties, so keep that in mind. But pretty fun week for Texas if it interests you at all.
Yeah, I actually scooped some. Leody Taveras started getting dropped. Yep, like scooped some of him. Was not really expecting him to be on the waiver wire, so must have been struggling pretty bad, but I think had a home run so far
this week. He had a home run this week, yep. Picked him up in Towers.
Of course he did. Of course he did. Well done. Hitting .254, 2 homers, 2 steals. So, again, this is Leody Taveras, but someone who is playing every single day against this schedule. I like that. Maybe some Josh Smith, like, the first half of the week, since, like you said, Texas is getting lefties on the weekend, so.
I will say, Smith is now platooning all of a sudden. The one guy that is interesting all of a sudden is Ezekiel Duran, who's played more since the Langford injury. He's playing outfield and third base. Like, he plays third base versus righties and outfield versus lefties is kind of how it's gone, sort of.
Yep.
But so he's playing more. We've been asking for it for a long time. That could be something, too.
I like that. So
keep an eye on Zeke, and he's basically going to be free this weekend if you want to jump on that one.
That's a lot of changing parts in these last 2 teams, Tampa, Texas. I'm glad we
– Yeah, injuries. It's getting pretty weird here. So definitely stuff to keep monitoring, and it's one of those that I wouldn't be shocked if it changed back after adding guys this weekend too. So it's going to be frustrating is all I'm trying to say. Toronto Blue Jays, they have 6 games this week, 3 at Baltimore, 3 at home against Tampa Bay, 4 right-handed pitchers to face Toronto this weekend. Man, Toronto's offense is just so bad. Like, I don't even pay attention to wanting to add anybody on this team.
I know. I mean, led off by your boy Bo Bichette, of course. He's no O'Neill Cruz, but but outside of that, the biggest headline for me with Toronto this week is, will we see Aurelvis Martinez? Can you pick him up? Like, I think I looked in Tout. He's just already rostered, but you may want to jump the gun a week early if you can, depending on, you know, your league rules and whatnot, and take a stab at Aurelvis Martinez.
It's a good call. Good call. He might take Bo Bichette's spot after all. So that's a good one. Washington Nationals, they have six games this week, all on the road. You got three against the White Sox, three against the Phillies, two lefties, four righties. That's a tough schedule. Even with the White Sox, because they get Crochet in the mix, that's a tough schedule for Washington.
That's brutal. Almost 18% average strikeout minus walk. And that's with Chris Flexen included, who I think Michael in the chat earlier did confirm has a negative strikeout minus walk rate. So, yeah, the rest of that schedule is brutal for the Nationals. Fetty, Crochet, Wheeler, Sanchez, and Nola. And thus, I don't know. Luis Garcia is still hitting well. So I still like Luis Garcia if he's still around. Outside of that, there's not much.
Yeah, I still like Winker, but not this week type deal, like you're saying with Garcia. Just pass on the Nats is the way I would look at that one. All right, Bloomfield, let's talk some CBS. Let's talk most added players on the week here and have some fun with this one. And we'll kick it off with the hitting side of the thing, which we've kind of talked about. You already kind of tongue-in-cheeked about Tyler Nevin earlier. I still believe in him, but I get it if you want to kind of sit back and watch. DeLuca's up there, Rojas, like you talk about, Perez, Toro. A lot of A's up here.
A lot of A's. That's, three of the top six. Shea Langeliers had seven RBI Bangaliers. Day.
Bangaliers.
Shea Bangaliers. Doubleheader, but.
He had eight RBIs in the doubleheader.
Oh, he had eight. I saw he had seven.
Six in one game, two in another.
That's awesome. Yeah. We've covered. So, Langeliers, I think, is a decent catcher. I mean, you know what you're getting. Although the strikeout rate's down, 22% and a 19% barrel rate. Like, that's.
It's a weird profile. It's a very weird profile.
It's a very good profile.
But it's weird because he's still hitting 209. That's why it's a weird profile. He must have
like a 60% fly ball rate.
I'm pulling him up right now. He has a 185 BABIP.
You got his fly ball rate?
It's 45.6%. He has a 22% home run to fly ball. He's popping the ball up less than ever. He's just, that's a wild one. Like, if you believe in X stats say he should be hitting 268. That's a jump, folks.
I mean, I bet there are not many major leaguers right now with a 22% K rate and a 19% barrel rate. That's very hard to do.
Not a chance. And like we always say, like, X stats aren't the end all be all, but when I see a gap of like 209 to 268.
Yeah, that's outliers.
Like, at least so that means maybe 235, 240. Like, that's pretty. If he does that, that power goes through the roof. So,
and as Michael says in the chat, is faster than Ronald Acuna per sprint speed. Which
I've seen Langeliers run. That's kind of depressing.
I guess that's true, but that's crazy. Who else? We talked about John Singleton. So he's up from unrostered to 10% in CBS. That's. And a pretty righty heavy week, I believe. I think we said five righties for Houston, so that's interesting. Eric Halterman in the chat, barrel rate leaderboard, one Ohtani, two Langeliers. The things you find out on these boards, that's pretty cool. We had a question, and maybe we were too dismissive earlier, of Tommy Pham. He is only 18% rostered in CBS leagues.
Insane.
So that seems very low.
He's 99% no C's. That's why I apologize for my biases there.
Who else? We've got some Vidal Brujan. We kind of covered most of these guys. Vidal Brujan up to 8%, but I'm not too interested in that. Nolan Schenwell is one
there's
of the
few remaining. More Oakland A's on here. They're all over the board.
Bidet. That's right.
Brett Harris, your K rate and barrel rate for you right there. Boom.
We are starting to see some movement. Brett Harris, at the bottom of this list, you're up to 3%. And again, I'm not, this is a tiny sample. This is 31 plate appearances for Brett Harris, but 16% K rate, 15% barrels. He probably has two barrels, but I don't know. He's hot right now.
You mentioned Nolan. Was it Schenwell? I always screw it up.
Schenwell.
He's crushing it, but Zach Neto is on that as well. And I've been bringing him up lately, but since the 26th. Dude's hitting 311 with two homers, stolen base. Counting stats are always going to stuck with the Angels, but if you're looking for middle infield help, the dude's hitting it pretty good. So,
and somehow hitting ninth every day. Like, come on, Ron.
Yeah, that whole lineup makes zero sense. But, like, he's barreling the ball 11.4% since the 26th, only a 34% hard hit. But he's showing some promise, at least some of the promise that people talked about preseason, which is kind of enticing.
We did. We're seeing some movement on Aurelvis Martinez, who I just mentioned, up from 23 to 26%. So some of your league mates are picking up on that, a preemptive pickup. One guy we did not mention, Jorge Mateo, Bubba, when we went through Baltimore, running like crazy, striking out like crazy. Is there enough playing time there for an ad?
Yeah, I think there is. I rostered him 2 weeks ago in 15s because I needed middle infield. I dropped Tim Anderson. So, yeah, it made sense. But, yeah, he's playing well. I'm trying to
– I think he's a platoon. He's only playing against lefties, and Baltimore has faced 4 out of 6 lefties.
That helps.
And
that
so I was talking about this actually. Yeah, so that reminds me of the Ryan O'Hearn where we were talking about earlier. It's a righty-heavy week for Baltimore, so we might not see a whole lot of Jorge Mateo at this point. And meanwhile, Keston Kjerstad – keep wanting to call him Keston Hjerstad – has started, like, one game. Don't know what's going on there.
It still might be a platoon. I'm not going to say it's not, but he's played in one of the last two games versus righties. Mateo has. He's played in 4 of the last 5 games.
Yeah. So
if he is not in a strict platoon, I think he's at least a deep league shot in a 15.
So to wrap that up for steals, Mateo and De'Ron Blanco, we talked about earlier.
Yeah. I think Blanco will be on this sheet next week. I guarantee it.
I think you're right. Mike Talkman's on this sheet. Should not be.
Not with all the guys coming back. He's back.
A lot of good second catchers. We're at that part of the podcast at this point.
We have a listener question on those exact catchers on this list, so we'll come back to that for sure.
All right. Any other hitters on this list that we haven't talked about?
Shanwell.
The Langoliers thing pops. That's interesting.
It's pretty much standard stuff here. It's just funny seeing all the A's. That says a lot right there. Mm-hmm. In a big way. And Johnny DeLuca's rostered more in CBS than in FECOCs, which is cute.
That's what is he in
7% in OCs. 7%. I'm guessing people just didn't notice he got called up because of the other prospects.
I didn't. Yeah.
Forgot about it.
I didn't. That's interesting to see that versus the Tommy Pham. Yeah, just Tommy interesting as like podcasters so many different leagues out there. That's crazy.
Well, we've tried to make the point, like, we use an NPC for references because it's just kind of the best formula. But we're trying to incorporate the other formats. And then this is why it's so hard to incorporate everything because it's so all over the board. So
interesting. Yeah. Anyway.
All right, let's talk pitching. This is where it gets fun. Urban, Colin Ray stinks. Like, just don't do it. The regression's already coming for him. We talked about it on a Bloom board 2 weeks ago. Trevor McGill's one, though, still way too low rostered, folks. Way too low rostered.
Agreed. I think he's the guy in Milwaukee. Got a save. Well, I think it was Sunday save.
He's got three saves now. Yeah.
Joel Piams got blown up earlier this week. And Devin Williams is still injured. So, like, who else is back there? So, Trevor McGill being 29% owned in CBS, that seems awfully low with really good skills. Again, for the non-YouTube crowd, we've got the strikeout minus walk, the whiff rate, and the ball rate. And Trevor McGill is green in all three, which you like to see.
Yep, like to see that. It's scary looking at the pitchers up here, like Cole Irvin, Colin Ray, Chris Paddock, Andrew Heaney, Trevor Williams, Ben Lively, Wisniewski, Gibson, Huds, like... rough group of streamers.
I mean, rinse and repeat every single week. Yeah.
But then you got Mason Black. You got Samuel Woods Richardson. Like, these are guys I'm interested in.
Yeah, we did talk Mason Black on the Tuesday show, so I guess we won't go too much into that. But I think a lot will depend. I think he pitches Saturday
against Cincinnati, so that'll be big.
He'll be able to scout that one. Yeah. A lot will depend on how he looks there because, like we said earlier, looked good through the first 4 innings against Philadelphia, a very good Philadelphia team. So the skills are all red for Mason Black right now, but that could change with this weekend start. And I also wonder, given how Keaton Wynn has been pitching, Mason Black might stick when Blake Snell comes back, because I think Blake Snell is back next week, right? You were saying that.
He's throwing a rehab start on Sunday in San Jose. And then if all goes well, he'll be back next week.
Eric says in the chat, is there a ball rate leaderboard somewhere or using that as StatCast? Eric, I'm grabbing it from Fangraphs, but I have to calculate it. They have balls and pitches, and so I just divide it.
He's smarter than me, folks. That's why he does these boards. Simeon Woods Richardson, I'm still a big fan of. The swing and miss this last start was a out-of-nowhere situation, so I wouldn't count on that full-time. The Mariners just strike out a lot. But I think he's a good pitcher, but I wouldn't be, like, running to – like, I'm going to pitch him a lot, but it's a kind of a Kyle Gibson-esque, like, pick your poisons situation.
And SWR gets Cleveland on Friday. So that'll be a tough test. It'll be a tough test given how pesky Cleveland is as a team. Michael in the chat says Chris Paddock's strikeout rate has been up lately, and that is true. Over Chris Paddock's last six games, he has a, 23% K rate. So it's up, and the walk rate is a lot better lately. So signs of life from Chris Paddock, and he gets, we'll save him for the two steps.
Yep, we'll save him for the two step. A couple guys I kind of want to bring up, maybe not to add this week, but if you have a watch list or something, Bryce Wilson has really been at least serviceable of late, is the nicest way I'll put it. Like, it's been good. I've streamed him, at least used him in DFS for cheap, but he went six shutout with six Ks against the Royals, six innings, one run, six Ks against Tampa Bay, four to third, two runs, three Ks against Pittsburgh. I know those aren't the toughest matchups. That's part of the problem, but he's been very serviceable if you're looking for future streams. So Bryce Wilson would be a guy to keep an eye on. The same with Cooper Criswell of Boston. Problem with Criswell, Bayo's coming back this week, and they should be getting who's there? They got one more coming back next. I don't think it's Whitlock just yet, but they have another one coming back too.
Bayo
comes back this weekend, hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it may be Whitlock next week, but I thought it was somebody else. Yeah, so Criswell may not be long for the rotation, but he's been very serviceable as well.
Yes, very good walk rate, which always helps the whip. And Cooper Criswell would stand to face the Tampa Bay Rays this week.
I don't hate that. Don't hate that at all. So the other one I want to bring up, because he's at the very bottom of this board and he got shellacked by the Dodgers, which I expected, is Rodery Munoz. Now, the reason I say that is he's not projected to start anywhere. And I'm not saying you have to add him just yet, but keep an eye on him because he was very good in his first two starts against normal competition. And with Edward Cabrera going down, like, why would you keep Sixto Sanchez up is my question, per se. Like, Braxton Garrett came back to take Edward Cabrera's spot. That's fine, but I guess the same reason as why is Max Meyer in AAA. But I think Munoz over Sixto makes a lot of sense.
It does. I agree. We've got Hayden Wesneski on here. Did not pitch that well this week. I picked him up almost everywhere. He was my backup to Christian Scott.
Oh, he gets Atlanta next week. And then Kyle Hendricks comes back to face Atlanta the next week. Ouch.
Yeah, so maybe chill on old Hayden this week. Any so there's been chatter at least of a Mason Miller trade. Oakland's denying it.
I like Lucas.
Do you like a Lucas Urseg stash? It might be a long stash, but I don't know.
It could be a long stash, but he's also one of those guys we talked about. He's been getting like one save chance a week because they don't want to use Mason a ton. So he's been getting chances. He's also going to get you strikeouts and good ratios with even when he's not getting saves. So he's one of those guys, at least in deeper leagues, that is very serviceable. Like, he's not Reed Garrett getting new wins probably as often, but he's got the goods. Lucas Urseg is filthy.
Patrick Sandoval is on this list, but I think that was because of a good two-step this past week. So you don't want to – it's at Texas for Sandoval's next start.
It's not a good start next week, but not to just completely poo-poo Sandoval. I was surprised. He's been much better of the last – like, he's had one blow-up. Seven of his eight starts are 300 runs or less. Like, that shocked me when I saw that. He's got 17 Ks in his last two starts at Pittsburgh, and one was against Philly. He went five innings, two runs, 10 Ks against Philly.
And it's coinciding with a pitch mix change. He's basically faded. Yeah. Patrick Sandoval has faded his four-seam fastball, which is his worst pitch. Yep. Generally fading it, and I don't think Patrick Sandoval even threw his four-seamer.
I want to say it was like 8% or less or something. Like, it was like two or three pitches, something like that, last start.
Yeah.
He has a 12.2% swinging strike on the year. Like, he's doing it again. He does these little stretches every time to kind of try to reel us back in, and then he'll walk 12 guys and give it four home runs. but he's showing improvements. So I wouldn't play him against Texas, like you're saying, but he's a guy that I think will have some viability in the coming weeks, because like the following week he gets Cleveland. Cleveland hasn't been great versus lefties of late, so that's could be interesting.
Yep, agreed. We should not. Well, I mean, it is Patrick Sandoval after all, but anytime you see a pitch mix change with a plus in skills, I don't care who it is, I'm interested. So it's a good point.
Yeah, so there's something there, and in a world like I mentioned, the seven pit starting pitchers or whatever at the top, I'd probably get Sandoval and not over most of those guys up top type situation.
Yeah, we didn't talk Ben Lively, but I picked him up and gave up three runs, I think, with two strikeouts against the White Sox on Thursday. So that's
I still think Ben Lively's good. I might be biased in that one. He's been pretty decent at least prior to this, and next week he's got. Or the following next week, he's got Texas, which is tough. Following week, though, a two-step against the Mets and the Angels. That looks pretty good. So, like, if you could stash him for cheap this weekend before he gets expensive the following week, that'd be my 2 cents. I think he's a good two-step in 2 weeks.
Trevor Williams is getting a lot of love. I don't see it. It's got a low
two-step this week.
Okay, that's probably why. It's just no whiffs, 8% swinging strike, and not throwing strikes, 38% ball.
He's given up no home runs this year.
Yeah, like that's going to change. It's going to change.
One of like three pitchers or something. It's crazy.
Jump ship from Trevor Williams.
Wow. All right. Any other pitchers you'd like to discuss, or do you want to do some two-stepping?
Let's do some two-stepping.
All right. We'll kick it off again. We're only going to talk the kind of common ones like Jordan Montgomery versus Cincy versus Detroit. You're starting Jomo. Ronaldo Lopez. You're starting Ronaldo. Corbin Burns, starting Burns. Let's get some fun ones here. Crawford, Pivetta, you're probably starting them, so that's boring. Oh, this is all the big dogs. Imaniga, starting him. Okay, here you go. Graham Ashcraft and Hunter Green's rosters. Graham Ashcraft at Arizona at the Dodgers.
Oh, I don't think I can do it. Ashcraft is on this. I thought he was on this list. I thought I saw him. But no, I can't do that at LA. It's just you're going to get nuked. Even Hunter Green, man.
I was about to ask him, but Hunter Green.
I would do so with extreme fear and trepidation the way the velocity was down in Green's last start and given the at LA. Like, at LA is just death.
Yeah, it's brutal. Tanner Bibee at Texas versus Minnesota.
Yeah, you go with it.
He still has like an 18% K to walk, which is still pretty good.
Yeah.
And Sierra's 3.59. So
actually, I was going to say that I didn't check in on Bibee in a little while. The skills look actually
good.
Really good.
It's that fastball. The fastball's not always going to blow up. That's just like he needs to stop throwing the gosh darn fastball.
It's funny. He has the basically exact same K rate, same walk rate, same ball rate, slightly better swing strike rate than last year. Tanner Bibee had a 2.98 ERA last year and a 4.91 ERA this year. So actually pitching better this season than he did last year, even though the results aren't there.
That's funny. Pete Lambert at San Diego at the Giants.
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Hey, our buddy Chris Flexen versus Washington at the Yankees.
Chris, negative KBB Flexen. No.
Kenta Maeda versus Miami at Arizona. These are easy decisions this week.
Versus Miami?
At Arizona.
Probably not.
No. Hunter Brown versus Oakland versus Milwaukee.
No, I can't do it.
No. But Ronel Blanco, yeah?
Sure. Yep.
Yeah, no Hunter Brown. Brady Singer at Seattle versus Oakland. Yeah.
Yep.
I just want to hear you say it. Jose Soriano. Versus St. Louis at Texas.
I'd probably roll with it in 15s. The really nice thing with Soriano is a 60% ground ball rate. And again, I don't care who you're facing. If you get 60% ground balls, that's going to help you. So I would roll the dice with Jose Soriano in 15 teamers.
I think I would too. Maybe 12s, depends on what you need. At this point in the year, he was cruising versus Pittsburgh and then just blew up in like the fifth inning. He was striking everybody out, but it is Pittsburgh after all.
Yeah.
Yamamoto's a yes. Sixto Sanchez at Detroit versus the Mets.
Hell no.
Yeah. Colin Ray versus Pittsburgh at Houston. At Pittsburgh start.
I think in 15s, you got to go with him.
15s, yes. I would not do it. It's the blow up. Like, the regression's already come. The blow up hasn't come yet. The blow up is coming. Like, Yordan Alvarez might put one out of the ballpark. Chris Paddock versus the Yankees at Cleveland.
I'd roll with it, given what we were just saying with the kind of
that's fair.
Somewhat recent improvements. The Yankees are tough, but it's not at, you know, it's at home. And then at Cleveland.
That's fair.
I'd go with it.
Sean Manaea versus Philly at Miami.
God, that is tough. And I'm going to have to make that call because I have Samson on a few leagues.
I'm going
to
start him.
I think I'm going to start him too. Just hope like hell you get through Philly because at Miami is awesome.
Yeah, just don't get destroyed in Philly. Like, you can let four runs up in like five or six. Just don't get destroyed. Give me that Miami start. Rodon at Minnesota versus the White Sox.
Yes.
J.P. Sears at Houston at Kansas City.
J.P. Sears has been good lately.
He's been good. Like, I would do it.
It's a tough two-step, but I think I'd roll with it. And it's not – this is not last year, J.P. Sears, where you just were not getting any wins. There's actually some win potential with this.
Because the Major League remake is doing well.
That's right. They keep stripping pieces of clothing off the owner. Off.
Yes.
Yeah. The other dude who is that Osvaldo Baido? Oh my god.
I don't know if he's gonna I don't know if he's gonna pitch though. He left his start against Texas with a bloody fingernail.
Well, that may be for the best.
But they haven't like said because yeah, he's not starting. You're not playing him in the two step.
Oh my god.
I just don't know who they'd bring up, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah. Christopher Sanchez, Aaron Nola, you're starting both of them. Mitch Keller at Milwaukee at the Cubs.
I think so. At Milwaukee is tough, but it's against Colin Ray. And the Cubs is tough because it's against Imanaga. So, like, I don't know the win potential with Mitch Keller. But I would go with it.
George Kirby versus Kansas City at Baltimore.
Of course.
Yes. Jordan Hicks versus the Dodgers versus Colorado. You do it for the Colorado start. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, and you just hope like hell the ground ball rate holds against the Dodgers.
Plug your nose and pray.
Yep.
Matthew Liberatore at LA at the Angels versus Boston. No.
Not at AAA. No.
No, not at AAA. That's where you should be. Zach Eflin, you're doing that. Aaron Civale at Boston at Toronto.
Oh, the two-step Civale. Oh.
Good luck, Ryan. Good luck.
What do you mean good luck? I haven't answered yet.
If you can't start him this week, you should drop him.
I got to think about this, man.
Take your time.
He's a bench. Yeah. He's a start in 15s. He's a start in 15s. He's a bench in 12s.
He's a cut, folks. Get rid
of
him.
A cut.
Get rid of him.
Holy crap, dude.
Michael
used to like that guy.
No, so did I. When he's productive, I like a lot of people. People told me that my whole life. Trust me, I get it. Michael Lorenzen versus Cleveland versus the Angels.
Negative.
It's a tempting one. It's very tempting, but it's Michael Lorenzen. Toronto, Barrios, you're starting. Washington, Trevor Williams at the White Sox at Philly. That Philly start might be disgusting.
That's probably where that's the regression game.
But it's in Philly to top it off too. Like that's got Bryce Harper home run derby written all over it.
It's so hard to sit a starting pitcher who's 4-0 with a 1.96 ERA. So like, probably you're going with him, but it's coming. It's
check
coming.
This out: Pittsburgh, Giants, A's, Astros, Marlins. Rangers, Baltimore. That's who he's faced this year. And he's allowed two earned runs or less in six of those starts, three earned runs or less in all of those starts. That is just wow. Yeah. And it's like he's got the 1.96 ERA, but it's a 3.8 xFIP. Like it's not like it's ballooned. That's crazy just looking at his profile.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, 404 Sierra. Like that sounds right for Williams, honestly. But
yeah.
All right, the problem is going from 1.96 to 404 is going to take a big one. That's the problem.
Yes, but I mean, kind of like you would expect him. You would expect Trevor Williams to be a four guy the rest of the way. So really, his ERA, given the start that he's had, would be like mid threes. What the? How the hell does he have a four?
No, Sierra 404 Sierra. Yeah,
he does. That's crazy.
Yep.
49% ground ball rate. So it must be factoring that in.
In 15s, I roll him out. 12s, no. 15s, I roll him out.
I like it.
Yep. All right. Let's do a few listener questions here before we head on out for this episode. Wrong button. And here we go. All righty. We have John LeGaze, our buddy Big John Stud. Help me take stock of the A's offense, boys. Is Nevin Dunn coming off this over 20 slump? I think he's back to a 15-team stream.
Yeah, agreed. I wouldn't go Dunn after 20 plate appearances, but because he'll get every opportunity to right the ship. So, agree. 15-team stream for Nevin.
All right. Here we go. Here's the catcher question. Martin Sikulski asks, any reason to roster Alejandro Kirk, Bo Naylor, or Gabriel Moreno over any of the catchers listed? All have been quite bad, and we know catchers matter. That's right. They do matter, buddy.
Go for it, man. This is you.
First off, you can just drop Kirk for pretty much, let's see, Langeliers, Diaz, Jansen, maybe not. That's close. Wong, Yvonne Herrera, Corey Lee. Lee and Jansen are the two I would be questionable on this list. I like all of these catchers. Langeliers, Diaz, Wong, Herrera, I like all of them over Kirk for sure, over Moreno for sure. If your 12 teams are shallower, I'd say over Naylor as well.
Wow.
And I hate that. I really do, but in 12s I'm churning things around as fast as I can. Yeah. Like I'm just you've given him enough run. I still think he's better than he's playing right now, but that 36.4% K rate needs to get fixed. Like he could go to AAA. Because something's just not right. But the problem is the barrel rate's fine. The hard hit rate's 45.3%. That's awesome. But then like you look at everything else, it's just not coming together for him right now. He just kind of lost out there right now, and the strikeouts are following in a big way.
So. Michael asked about Austin Wells. Is he in that?
He wasn't on this list, on the Fab list that we have from CBS, but especially with all the righties on deck next week, I like Austin Wells quite a bit too. I like Austin Wells a lot. He was a fourth catcher in a lot of my DCs. Like he was on the board. Him, Corey Lee, who was on this list, was a fourth catcher for me. These are guys I like if they give him the opportunity. So if Wells is playing like he should, I would put Wells on the list as well.
Like it's I've got Jansen. Miguel. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, Jansen's just tough. I like his profile, but him and Kirk mess around with each other's playing time so much, it's hard to justify. But if Jansen were to get like 5 out of 7 games a week, like most catchers, I do like Danny Jansen as well.
I've got Miguel Amaya still on a few teams, and I am moving on from that, I think, for a bunch of these guys you're talking about.
Yes, that's a good point. That's a guy that that's not on the question, but I would 100% agree with you on that. He's slowed down. He's still the primary catcher. Like Yan Gomes isn't taking it over. My guy is still like a 5 out of 7 games, but the profile is shrinking rapidly. So
exactly.
Churn and burn. All righty. Next question we got for you here. Rand Simon says, what do we do about corner infield? He lost Tyler Black and Drury in OCs, and there's zero on the wire. I can't imagine how bad it must be in 15s if it's like this in 12s. Brian Ramos, do it.
Brian Ramos with maybe a backup, John Singleton.
Singleton's not bad.
I mean, not a glowing endorsement, but if there's nothing, I mean, if there's truly nothing out there, I think you go for that. Like
I pulled up corner infield and OCs because I see he asked for OCs. So some guys I would look at, like in reality, we said it's empty, but Lamont Wade's out there if you need him. Like he'll get you batting average. We got Kyle Manzardo this week. Brian Ramos is my number one dude. Would you go Singleton or Manzardo? I think I'd go Singleton.
I think I'd go Singleton.
Yeah, I go Singleton there as well. And then one that hasn't been talked about a ton, let me make sure he's still playing enough, but he was when he came off the IL, would be Bent Vierling. He's been actually pretty productive for the Detroit Tigers. He's been a deeper league guy for me. Yeah, he's playing 4 to last 5. So Vierling would be another one if you need somebody. Keep an eye on him. Detroit's got a good schedule.
Yep. So.
But yeah, Brian Ramos, make it happen. Tomorrow's Baseball Today says, I think Darian Blanco is going to start taking more PAs from MJ Melendez. What's your thoughts on that
Interesting. I have not looked at MJ Melendez. I don't have him anywhere.
I've benched him for a long time, and I dropped him in some leagues last week. Be platooning. Yeah, that's right. That first lefty tonight, and Blanco got the start in left field, and Melendez sat.
It's not that bad.
Melendez is not that bad.
So he's got 8 barrels. He's hitting the ball hard.
Can you tell me what his batting average is?
He's running. He's hitting 182, but that's off a 216 BABIP, dude. It's not going to hold. Okay. So, like, I think he could, I don't know, go back to 235, 240.
You see that increase in ground ball rate this year?
Yeah, that's a good call.
Like a 12% increase in ground ball rate. He's got the Josh Bell profile going on right now. Not good.
I mean, and really playing time is king. So if MJ is starting to lose those at-bats, it's tricky.
Ryan Rick says he has fed sobs in all only leagues because it's getting pretty dark. And that's why I can't play only leagues. Like I hate 15s for the lack of waiver wire. Only leagues would crush me.
Yeah, and I don't know if how deep, but I was in the Tout Wars 12-team AL only league and for like 3 years, and just literally nobody who plays regularly is available on the wire. So it's just frustrating.
And then T Stats says, I need some offensive help for the rest of the year with Chapman struggling and CES hurt. He means Matt Chapman. Which two of the following list of waiver wire guys do you think have the best 5x5 value rest of season? Position does not matter. So there's a list. Two of these guys, Lourdes Gurriel, Ian Happ, Max Kepler. I'm not even going to say Jeff McNeil. He does not count. Brandon Marsh, Eugenio Suarez, Luis Garcia, James Outman. He's also got Rojas, O'Hearn, Neto, Massey, Nevin. It's a long list.
Jesus. Nice.
Yeah. But you have to pick two. I think Gurriel Jr. stands out.
Yeah, Gurriel would be my number one. And then I would say Kepler while he's...
That's where I was going. I'm a Kepler homer on this one.
It sounds like if Kepler gets hurt, there are other options given the list there. So you go with that. If you really value playing time, I'd go Ian Happ. I just worry that Ian Happ is playing hurt. But
yeah, I've been benching him everywhere, trying not to drop him, but I have benched him everywhere.
Yep.
It's brutal.
Yep. Agreed.
All right, Mr. Bloomfield, we made it. You survived. You're still alive. This is good. Any final thoughts on the Week 8 Fab coming up?
I got nothing else. I got nothing else. I gave him my all tonight, man. Gave him my all.
You did great. The one thing I'll say is all you lovely people listening to the show, if there's any women listening, happy Mother's Day. And for the rest of you, do your Fab on Saturday and pay attention to your moms on Sunday.
That's true. That's a good good work, fantasy/life balance. I like that.
Yes. Get it done on Saturday and pay attention to your moms on Sunday. That's what I'm going to say. So that's the one note I got for you. But other than that, we're going to wrap it up, folks. Another episode in the books. Hope it helps you guys out. If it did, let us know. If you have any, you know, constructive criticism, let us know, besides my pronunciations, because that'll never change. You can find Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intric. This is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 133. Catch you all next time.